But let me just ask you a question, just by show of hands. How many, and don't be afraid of it because it happened, it's okay. How many of you ever at some point in your life, in your childhood, ran away from home? How many would be, okay, just go ahead and take a look around and see all the runners. And, you know, the runners are people that, you know, you got mad at your mom or your dad or your brother or sister. And isn't it true that when you ran away from home, the goal was to just to get away? It wasn't so much about where you were going. It was, man, I got to get out of here. But there wasn't necessarily a plan of what am I going to do afterwards. I think a lot of us have been, if you haven't officially ran, there's certainly been that thought of maybe I should pack up a suitcase. I'm going to be better off on my own. Maybe a more question, a more important question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because we would all have to. Have you ever run away from God? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes for all of us. Maybe not fully like picked up and walked away, although that might have been some of your story, that you moved to another town, moved to another place because you knew this is what God wants and man, I'm just not interested. And all of us at different parts of our life, little chapters of our life, little slices of our life have said, God, I know what you want, I just don't want to do it. God, I know what you want, but I really want this other thing as well. And so we come up with ways to say, well, I really want to do this, but my conscience is really fighting me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to decide there is no God. Because if I just decide there is no God, then I can kind of dull my conscience and I can do whatever I want. And maybe it's, man, I believe in God, but I really want to stay in this relationship. And so I'm just going to kind of push God away because this is something I really, really want. And for some of you, it's almost awkward sometimes coming to church. Like, I know that I probably should be in the place, I should be in the chair, but I also know that there's this part of my life that isn't where God wants, and I've just been resisting. That's running from God. And all of us at different times and seasons have been there, and you might be there today, and you might be asking the question, who emailed him? And who's he been talking to? No one. It's just all of our story that we tend to run. There's a really famous runner in the Bible by the name of Jonah, maybe the most famous runner. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks is take a look at Jonah's life. And even if you're not a Bible person, even if you didn't grow up in church, you've heard Jonah's story. The tension is for some of you, if you're not quite sure about scripture and faith, the tension is for some of you think, that's Jonah, come on, that's like a kid's story. There's no way that happened. I mean, fish can't swallow people and all these things. But here's where I would just kind of push back a little bit, is that I was raised to believe that this story that you know actually happened, like literally happened. And here's why we think that it really did happen. Jesus spoke about it. Jesus references Jonah's story, and he doesn't talk about it as if it's a parable. He doesn't talk about it as if it's an allegory. Jesus believed or seemed to believe that Jonah was a real story. Jonah is referenced in other places in the Old Testament as a real historical person. We know that Nineveh, which is kind of the main city that's talked about, we know that that is an ancient city. We know that Joppa, where he gets onto a boat, that we know that Tarshish is those are real places. And there's that tension of, yeah, that's all fine, but I mean, a fish swallowing a person, it's just not possible. Here's what I would say, that if we think that God created people, if we believe that God created people, and people have been able to create ships that live underneath the water for months at a time, like nuclear submarines, you know, they can be under the water for like 3, 4, 5 months at a time without surfacing. If our minds and if our hands could create something like that, don't we think that maybe God can create something that can swallow a person and it can be something that really happened? But here's I want to give you an out though. I want to give you an out. If you just can't get to, I just don't believe that Jonah is a real thing, here's the good news for you. That the part of the story that you're familiar with is not the main part of the story. That this story is not ultimately about a fish and a person. That's not the story. The story of Jonah is the story of God's redemptive plan. and are running. The story of Jonah does not resolve around a fish. The fish is just a bit player in a greater, grander story of God's redemption and God's mercy and God's love and humanity's desire to run. And so if you have a Bible this morning, Jonah's hard to find because it's really short. In my Bible, it takes 1.5 pages. But if you go to Matthew and then go left about 4 books, you'll find it. It's what we call a minor prophet. It's super, super short. If you have a printed Bible and if you want to follow along, we're just going to be in Jonah chapter 1 today. And I would encourage you, and maybe it's just the old school part of me, I think it's good to bring a real printed Bible because I love to write in mine and highlight in mine and circle mine. You can get it on your phone just as well, but sometimes I just like the paper and I can go back and remember I've got all sorts of writing on today's. If you need to go to the front of your Bible, there's an index, and if you need to find it in the index, there's no shame in that either. That's perfectly, perfectly fine. But Jonah chapter 1 is where we're going to be. You can follow along. Our Today's Sermon website is not working, but if you just go to the YouVersion app and find events, you'll find it there. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. We know that that's a real historical place. That's not just a Bible story. That's everybody believes that Nineveh was a real place. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. So Nineveh was a huge, huge city. We'll see that in a few weeks. But they were famous for their ability to torture people. That's what they did. And later on, in a couple decades later, these Ninevites are going to come and take over the Israelites. They are a mean, mean people. They had perfected, and this is kind of disgusting to think about, they had perfected skinning people alive and then keeping them alive for a really long time. They were kind of famous for skinning people alive and then taking their skin and nailing it to walls so that other people would say, hey, maybe don't mess with them. So this is the place, these are the people that Jonah is called to go. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. And then here's our story. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish. Why? To flee from the Lord. That's our story. There we are. That God says do this, and we just say, I don't believe I will do that. I'm gonna go the other way. Let me show you on a map how this actually happened. So Jonah boarded a ship here in Joppa. There's no reason that he needed to get on a ship. Here's Nineveh, about 550 miles away. Jonah said, I want to go as far away as I possibly can go. And so he boarded on a ship to try to get to Tarshish. Tarshish, in Jonah's line of thinking, was the end of the world. This was where the trading routes stopped, all the way over. And so Jonah is saying, not only am I not gonna go to Nineveh, I'm going to try to get away from God as far as I can possibly go. And Jonah, and again, here's some of our story. Jonah didn't change his theology. Jonah didn't stop believing in God. He just didn't want to do it. And we've been in there. God, I hear you. No. God, I see that you want me to go in that direction, but actually I'm gonna go in the exact opposite direction. Jonah had good reasons. Jonah, this would be like one of the commentators that I was reading. This would be as if a Jewish person from New York City was called to go preach against the Nazis during World War II in Germany. I mean, it makes no sense. So Jonah had all sorts of good reasons, and you probably have some good reasons. You have good reasons for running, that you're afraid of missing out on something good, that maybe for you, your story is that life has been disappointing, and you've confused a disappointing life with God, and those two things aren't necessarily the same, but because of pain or trauma or disappointment in life or unanswered prayers, you've said, I don't think that God really exists, and so I'm just gonna go the other way. For some of you, you've confused God with a bad church experience. You've confused God with a bad person that you met in church or a Sunday school teacher or whatever it was, and you just said, because of that person, I'm out. And you might not have gotten on a ship, but you moved in a direction. And you did, just like I did, just like Jonah did. God, I hear you. I just don't want you. I'm just not interested. And then verse 4, there's these three words that happen. And if you have a printed Bible, I want you to circle or highlight or underline these next three words. Then the Lord. God speaks to Jonah. Jonah says no. Then the Lord. God speaks to you. God speaks to me. I say no. And here's what some of us can tell you stories about, is that when we start to run, oftentimes there are some then the Lord moments. There are some things that God produces in our life or around us. And we're going to see in a little bit why he does that. Then the Lord, we'll continue with verse number 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell into a great sleep. You know the thing about runners that we all have in common? What we're going to see today is that your story of running is not unique. My story of running, it's unique to me, but it's not unique in history. All runners have the same thing. We're going to see a couple of them today. The first one is this, is that runners almost always cause chaos for the people around them. Is that when you say, God, I hear you, I'm just not interested, that you don't just hurt you, you hurt the people around you. And you hurt the people that you love the most, and you hurt the people that love you the most. And there's this common ideology out there, a common phrase that says, hey, just do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. You've heard that. Maybe you've even bought into that, but here's what you know in your heart is true, is that you can't do things without hurting other people. That the choices of my life always, always impact other people. That choices are not made in a vacuum. The decisions are not made in isolation. And when I say, God, I'm not interested, it doesn't just impact my life, it impacts the life of people around me. And if by chance you were able to make a decision in purely a vacuum, it affected me and only me, you know, you're a person and you can hurt you. And you hurt the person in the mirror looking back at you. That running and chaos oftentimes, most times, go hand in hand. That running and pain go hand in hand, and you're not the only one that's wounded. So are your friends. So are your kids. So is your husband. So is your wife. So are your coworkers. That you're running, you're saying no, it brings chaos to your life, but it also brings chaos to the people that love you the most. Continuing verse number 5 and 6, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice on us so that we will not perish. Here's the other thing that's common around runners, is runners are oftentimes the last to make the connection between the running and the chaos. Everybody else can see it. Everybody else can look at your life, can look at my life and say, of course that's going on. Of course you going that direction is going to make this impact. Of course you running, of course you moving in that direction. Of course I can draw a line between that and the chaos, but we're living our life and we just can't see it. And some of your friends and some of my friends have looked at me and say, well, of course that's what happened. Of course, that was going to be the result of that decision. Obviously, that was what was going to happen. And the runners are oftentimes the last to make the connection between the chaos that's happening around them and, oh, maybe I am the author of that chaos. Here's what that means for you, that if you're a runner this morning, if you're online, and if you're a runner, here's what that means for you. And it's a little bit kind of difficult for us to even fathom. is that your running right now might be causing chaos in other people that you're not aware of. That your running is causing people pain, and you have yet to make the connection between my running and the pain in other people's life, because oftentimes runners are the last to make the connection. Let's read the rest of the story, and then we'll finish up for the day. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. That was just an ancient way of trying to figure out what was going on. You don't need to worry about casting lots anymore. Verse number 8, they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven." Listen to this line. Remember, they're in the ocean, crazy chaos. "I worship the Lord who made the sea." I mean, what a dumb choice, right? Like, if God really did make the ocean, maybe the last place I want to run is to the ocean. You know, if God really created the sea, maybe I would consider avoiding the sea. But runners don't make the connection. Runners don't understand that how my decision really makes no sense at all. "He made the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. And they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do now that you have, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up, throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the man did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Verse number 17, I want you to hear, you underlined or you highlighted. "Now the Lord," here's your next three words you ought to underline, highlight, point an arrow to. "Now the Lord." Runners, there will often be a "then the Lord," but God in his mercy always brings "now the Lord." He provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Here's the great news about Jonah. Here's the great news about my story, and the great news about your story is that when you run, God doesn't abandon you. God provided a storm to wake up Jonah, and God provided a fish to redeem Jonah. And God will provide, in his mercy, a "then the Lord" in your life. And he will allow some chaos into your life. And he will allow some pain. And he'll allow some chaos and trouble. And now the Lord, when we wake up, he redeems. That God could have said, "Jonah, I'm so angry with you. I'm gonna," then the Lord created a storm. And God could have said, "Hey, I'll just meet you on the other side. Enjoy drowning. We'll meet each other in heaven, and we'll just see how things go." And some of you, that's your picture of God. You think that God is out to get me, and there's all this chaos in my life. But what Jonah realized, and what I want you to realize, is that you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. That's what I have written in my little margin of my Bible. That you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. It's not possible. That God caused a storm to get Jonah's attention. And some of you runners, God's trying to get your attention. And there might be a little chaos in your life. And that chaos in your life is impacting the people around your life. And you might not have made the connection between my choices and the chaos, but God is trying to get your attention. And so my invitation to you is, hey, wake up. Wake up. Are you running from God in an area of your life? Are you saying, "God, I hear you, I just am not interested"? Are you saying, "God, I know that this isn't right, but I just want it so bad"? God, in his mercy, will bring chaos into your life. God, in his grace, will bring some storms into your life to wake you up and to wake me up. But then, in his mercy, because what's the story of Jonah? Jonah is the story of the redemptive nature of God. is that God can bring storms, but then he also creates a great fish to save Jonah because God loves Jonah and God loves runners. There has never been a moment that Jonah was not loved by God. In the storm, Jonah was loved by God. When Jonah bought the ticket to head the other way, he was loved by God. When he was swimming in the ocean trying to figure out, is this the last moments of my life? He was loved by God. And in chapter 2, we're going to discover in the belly of a fish, Jonah was loved by God. And you're loved by God. And you might be on the run and buying the ticket to the furthest place away that you can get. And you might have dulled your conscience to the point where I can't even hardly hear God anymore. But you're loved by God. And sometimes we make that disconnect between, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. Well, if God really loved me, my life would be smooth and wrinkle-free. Here's what Proverbs says. Hey, don't despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because why? Well, the Lord disciplines the people that he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Then the Lord, now the Lord, it had very little to do with punishment. Very little to do with punishment. And it had everything to do with God wanted to win Jonah back. God wanted to bring Jonah back. And so this morning, if you're a runner, and if you're underneath the discipline of God, why is God doing that? He disciplines those he loves not to pay us back, but to bring us back. That's the reason. If God wanted to pay you back, he'd just let you drown in the ocean. If God wanted to pay you back, he would just let the chaos overwhelm you. Then the Lord caused a storm, but now the Lord created a fish. And then the Lord will cause some chaos in your life, but that's not because you're not loved. He wants to win you back. He wants to bring you back. And so, as we finish today, listen, if you're running, if you're on the run, if there's an area of your life or maybe your whole life that says, God, I hear you, I just don't care. Your Heavenly Father's looking for you. Your Heavenly Father wants you to come back, and he loves you too much to quit looking. He loves you too much to just say, okay, I'm just gonna leave them to their own devices, hands off. No, he will discipline and he will bring chaos, but it'll also create a great fish. And there might be some then the Lord moments happening in your life, disappointment and frustration and things not working. And God, in his mercy, he's trying to bring you back. He's trying to bring you back, not pay you back. And so next week, we're gonna see Jonah's, what we might call a white flag moment, where he just waves the white flag and say, God, I get it, and I'm coming back. And that's what I want for some of you. I want you to wave that white flag. You can read ahead if you want, but I want so much for you to wave that white flag and say, God, I don't wanna run anymore. I'm gonna go where you've called me to go. That's what we're gonna look at next week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for preserving these words. And Lord, I'm praying for those this morning that are on the run, that are going as far away as they can, and they're thinking to themselves, who talked to him? And maybe even just a little bit uncomfortable sitting in the seats because there's something inside of their hearts that says, I'm Jonah. I'm the runner. I'm the one that heard God and went the other way. Lord, I'm so grateful that you're not out to pay us back, but you're out to win us back. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you would open the eyes of some, that they would see the connection between some chaos that's in their life and their running, and that they would be willing to say, God, I'm gonna place myself in your hands. Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I'm not gonna run anymore. Lord, I'm praying that people would have the courage to do what they know you've called them to do. That they would stop saying, I'm just gonna run away from my conscience, but they would instead say, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard, I'm gonna say yes to God and stop running. Give us the faith to do it. Give us the courage to do it. Help us to surrender to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.